Yeah.
Mr. Haldeman, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Clark says it would be extremely useful for you.
Yeah.
Very, very good signal. Some line maybe then pick up. Wait, stand, say if you move this way.
Now, let me go to the public. With regard to departure time, just tell Ziegler he can say I'm going down for budget meetings and we'll leave either at 5 or 7. I cannot say which yet at this point. I won't know until later.
All right.
Yeah. It'll be not before 5 o'clock. And it will be, it might be as late as 7 depending upon what I have to do. And we'll, now, is that all right or does that make a problem with him?
Oh, hell no. There's no problem with him on any of that. What we'll say is you'll leave sometime between 5 and 7.
Yeah. And that they should be ready.
You should go anytime after 5.
That's right. And that we'll, it depends on the things that we have to sign and so forth. Okay?
Sure.
Fine. The other thing I was thinking that during the day you might do is to have a talk with Price on the, you know, the whole speech thing and so forth.
Right.
And so that we can have a talk with it when we get on the way down and or maybe on there. The need for his, you know, the staff, for strengthening the staff and perhaps shaking it up in this field. I mean, we've been around the track a great deal on this thing now, and, you know, we've really, I think, gone the extra mile and
right.
trying to test everything. And I think now there really needs to be some pretty straight talk about it, and then raise an honest follow-up to see the need for it, too.
Yep.
The need for a humor man, the need for, that's the least, but the need for,
it's
basically
a whole different approach.
Just somebody that, somebody that realizes that when you talk to an audience, you've got to say a few things that are some interest in. What I think is, as I read this aging thing, I've been putting in a few little extra things myself, go along, but as I read it, the real problem, Bob, is that they are really all writing for, it's the old stuff of sort of trying to write something that, it's basically writing by committee that they're doing, and they take, there's no flavor in it, there's no, and also it's not simply writing for the ear, it's also, they still are not going back and reading how I speak, you know, and how you build up a line or something like that. They don't get in tune with the people enough or something. But whatever it is, they'll do. Now, my inclination, of course, is to go. I may decide to go very, very hard the other way here now, is to frankly just leave the Price group in there to make up statements and the rest, and I'll have to do the speech stuff myself. Which I may end up doing. I mean, I'll just have to find somebody to work with me. Worst comes to worst, I could use the cannon. You know, fuck it up from there. It's a hell of a job for me. But I think that I think we do now have a pretty good chance. It's really to a certain extent. I know it's responsibility. It's Ray's obsession with the presidential bit, Bob, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's got to be presidential. The way I describe it, the speeches that they send over to me, there's no fire in the belly. They just don't have anything, you know what I mean?
Yep.
They just haven't got anything there that I put in sometimes, I think that I may have spoiled them myself by taking their remarks over and over and over again and really not using them. You know what I mean? I'll just take them as a thought, and I'll take off on it.
Yeah,
exactly.
The starting point.
Now they don't. They prefer that not be done naturally, and I do too. I mean, it's a hell of a lot harder
right. For
me to sit down and try to figure up something from what they've done, and to take something and read it. God damn it, I'd love to do what Mitchell does. Believe me, look how much more I could do. Hell, I can make a speech every day.
Yep.
And but we've got to really take it up. I wonder who you could get in on this to talk about it. I mean, who's, should it be Price alone or maybe Moore?
Well, I was going to get just Moore in because he was there.
Yep.
And he knows exactly what I'm talking about, and I think Ray respects Moore and doesn't see him, you know, as a competitor.
An antagonist,
like
no.
An antagonist the way
Well, Sapphire can't do it either, because Sapphire basically is a superficial, too clever fellow. I mean, he's too cold. I know you can go overboard the other way. I don't want to, I mean, it can be non-presidential, too much, the moolah stuff and so forth.
Yeah.
I don't do that either. But there is something where you can really, really, really get into something. Well, in a more effective way, and I know that Ray, being in the position he is, will do it. Now, Ray will have plenty to do under my scheme. I mean,
sure.
I mean, he'll do radio speeches, and, you know, and he'll do all the statements, which he does well, and all the rest. All those things are terribly important, and he does those as well as anybody that's ever done them in the White House. So I'll read the radio speeches and rest, but I think in terms of the written word, that we just frankly haven't got what it takes over there. Is that your
spoken word?
Written for the spoken word.
Yeah.
Right.
I did. And
I've been around this track plenty long.
These two speeches really, well, I haven't heard this one yet. But
well, this one, well, doesn't make up. This one has
the one
to be.
Yesterday is the prime example.
This one today, Bob, we are not looking. It will go all right, because basically it is programmatic, and all these people do expect to hear a bunch of crap, and I'll just read the program. The one yesterday, however, was not programmatic. It was basically idealistic, and therefore one that could have said something. Now, Price may have been misled by that group that, I guess it's, I was going to say Finch's office, but apparently it's under Colson now.
Yeah, it's the young McLean and Ken Rice.
That group. Because they were all hot for doing this kind of thing, you know, this kind of speech.
Yep.
So maybe it's not fair to do it. But I just get the impression that it just isn't there. I wonder, did you talk to? I would think Andrews would see it. He's smart as hell.
The other thing is, I want to talk to Andrews separately.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I want to
find out
to see whether he understands what we're talking about.
That's right.
Because he just might.
And then if it is that the case, then Andrews has got to get out and start thinking in terms of, well, how do you get a chair like that? How do you put some more boxes in?
And then what you do is you use Andrews just for that kind of thing, plus doing the things for the rest of the family.
He does the family things well.
That's
a very great service and so forth. But what I'm really concerned about is this, that the stuff that Price and his group are getting out begins more and more, as it has previously, to frankly sound like Eisenhower's stuff. Now, it's better written than Eisenhower's, but Eisenhower's basically was consensus writing. I mean, there was no stadium, nothing. You know, he never did any of his own editing. And this is not good. It's because they all get together and they submit it to this one. I think here's the problem. I think Ray tends to bicycle stuff around too much. In other words, he'll send something to Garmin, and he'll send something to, on the other extreme, to this, the Moore, and he'll send something to this, and you get all these ideas. By the time you get too many ideas, you take all the piss out of it. You see? That's why when I write a good one, as you know, I don't consult with very many people.
No.
And the reason I don't is not that I'm not sure that sometimes I miss something. Sometimes it would have been better to not make a mistake. But if you consult too much, you take too much out.
Yep.
Okay. And then McGregor says, say something about the $50 million or $100
million. He says that'd be fine, yeah.
Gregor's working on it hard. It'd be a great thing if they give out. How about 3:15? You still think they can keep that out?
That's
a hell of a... I talked to both of them.
That's in that other campaign reform act. And they may get it. It may end up back in for presidential only.
Yeah.
But that's the thing they're really shooting to keep out. Neither house is approved that.
Yeah.
One house is approved it for no one, and the other is approved it for everyone. They're going to argue that it's got to go one way or the other. Bud Brown,
they have done just a great job on it. A great job. They fought it right down to the line.
I just think that's one you pulled back anyway.
You mean veto it?
No. But if they repeal 3:15,
just don't do it.
You just don't debate.
That's right.
Johnson laid the groundwork for that. But I think you do it with, without any discussion or anything on what, of course, the president, the incumbent president, can't.
Yeah.
We get a seat for that, but it's a hell of a lot better than the debate.
That's right. You can agree to have...
And the people will generally agree with you.
You can agree to have appearances that are joint. I mean, what I mean is I don't mean mine going on a half hour and somebody else going on a half hour, but I cannot debate.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you go on.
There's a lot of argument that the debates aren't constructive.
Yeah. Well, the difficulty is that you can't go into it because the president has too many inhibitions.
Right.
Hands are tied.
Right.
It would not be useful to go on.
The president has to be responsible. The other guy doesn't.
Kick you in the knee. Kick your nuts off. That's why we look forward.
That's right.
Kennedy, of course, said he would debate you under your board.
Yeah, but Johnson said he wouldn't.
Yeah.
And there was a real question whether Kennedy would.
No, that's right. Well, it is obvious that he would. I haven't seen the news summary yet. But maybe you can use that as a good price. I mean, how did it handle that?
Well, it handled it well, and you got good TV, which is the odd thing, and better TV than writing press. But they showed the substantial segments of the speech. Direct film from the speech on the end of the stormy night, the improved college scene, the failure of radicals to catch on, you're the leaders, youth is the mass, we need your partnership and all that.
You can't.
For instance, on CBS, they featured the applause of the kids and the nature of the trip.
Well, the point is,
opened with the kids singing God Bless America, which was before you came in.
Yeah.
And then had them standing applauding and they over the keys and all that. So, quite a bit of stuff.
Well, you can't let don't let them. Naturally, in your discussions with Ray and the rest, don't let that interfere with what we're really talking about. It's a question of whether you have that or have something better than that.
Yeah, well, they all make the point that there was.
No applause.
They show the long-standing ovation at the end, but then they make the point that there was no applause during the speech.
Well, that's true.
They gave him standing ovations at both the beginning and end of his speech, but did not interrupt him with applause. And
that's fair.
A lot of good quotes, though.
Yeah. Okay, but just be sure now we don't back down on this.
No, the point is still there.
Best,
no matter
best
what
example
the
we've
was.
Got.
That's
okay.
Right.